Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Awesome. You guys doing all right then? Excellent. My name's Jonathan, as Andrew said, and it's my real honour and privilege to be the congregational leader here. And we're excited about this time. Even from Holland, it's true. And last week and this week, we're just going to spend some minutes just looking at how God is saying to us, it's time for you and for me to know him in a new way, to go a bit deeper with God, to experience God in a fresher way, to get hold of God in a fresher way, and more importantly, for him to get hold of us in a fresher way. And as we've been kind of journeying through January, we're on the 15th, about halfway through January. I don't know about you, but I've been following through the Bible reading, which has been kind of fueling faith on my journey with Jesus, which is from the book of Matthew, but also Psalm 122, I think, up to 150 we're doing in January. And I'm hoping that God has really been speaking to you through the Word. Because as we were reminded of through Andrew, is hope can sometimes disappoint if it's hope that isn't in God. Like, I hoped that it was going to be 30 degrees today in Worthing. How many of you know that was a misplaced hope? But in the Bible, when you hope in Jesus, what it does is it means in my heart, in my mind, it is this: if it's not hot today, it will be hot tomorrow. That's hope. That's hope in God. Hope is it's coming. I'm going to have it. I might not touch it now, but it's round the corner. What that does is it takes fear of corners away. I don't know what's coming round the corner of your life. I don't know what's coming round your household or your family or your marriage or your parenting or your schooling. All I know is where there's hope, hope meets us round the corner. We might not be out of sea. We might be thinking, oh my goodness, what if, what if, what if? And God says, I'm still here and I take the if away. Hope never disappoints. And the Word of God, particularly as we're looking through Matthew at the moment, I mean, particularly Matthew for me, it may be different for you, is that I'm finding, and we're going to look at some of them, is that it's time for hope to be fruitful. And as Andrew was saying, we were praying for you yesterday, we were praying for you this morning, is that today you find a real exchange takes place in your life. Whatever you came in the room with, you take more home with you. Whatever has been dragging you or holding you back or trying to steal or kill or rob the blessing of the Lord from you, is that you live on the ground and take fruitfulness back. Because God wants to do that in you and in me. Particularly if you're a bloke, on Friday morning we had a great time praying for men. Woohoo! It was powerful. I loved it because I'm a man. I don't know whether you've worked that out. I am a man, certainly from the neck up. Hallelujah. And I was just like, come on, God, do this. And halfway through, God was saying, everything that you're asking for, I'm going to do it in you as well. I like that. I think that's powerful. So Josh, bless him, is on the back. He's going to do the best he can with the scriptures because I haven't told him which ones they are. He's in the Bible college. The clue is in the title. You're right then. Yes, you're sure. Did you see what I did then? But before we get into the Word, I want to celebrate somebody. I like celebrating people anyway. Everybody's sitting there thinking, oh, pick them. Fred, come and join me. Yeah. You don't know what I'm going to do. Turn around. That's your best side. Fred, I know you're not going to... What?
No, go on.
Don't interrupt. I know that you won't believe this, but he's going to be 60-10 on Wednesday. That's right, isn't it?
That's right, yeah, absolutely. He's trying to keep that quiet, isn't
he? Sorry, he just told me he was trying to keep it quiet. So the first thing you need to do is forgive me. So Fred is going to be 60-10 on Wednesday. Doesn't look it, right? But we love you. And you are a faithful man. the years ahead of you will be more fruitful than the years behind you. But 70 is a good age, right? How do you know? You don't know what. And we have... Sorry. I thought they were for me. We found you something that the ambassador didn't want, so we let you have it. Let's just stand up and pray for Fred. Father, I want to thank you so much for this man's faithfulness, his spirit, his generosity, his diligence. Father, we want to thank you that you've brought him this far with great health, and we speak great health over the future years. We thank you for his household, that they are blessed. His marriage is increasingly blessed, that he goes from strength to strength on his pilgrimage, on his journey with you. He goes from strength to strength, stride to stride, step to step, increase upon increase. I thank you for the increasing sense of your presence, of your power, and of your purpose flowing in him and through him. We honor him, we thank you for him, and in many, many ways, we want to live like him. So thank you, Jesus, for this man. Amen. Hallelujah. And the first 20 get a sweet. The second 20 wish that they were the first 20. So as I was saying, last week, this week, we're just going to spend a little bit of time in particularly in Matthew, about how it's time for you and I to have a deeper experience, I'm going to use that word, of God. I have no idea what your experience of God is. All I know is that it's time to move up again. God wants to reveal himself. He wants to position himself in such a way that as soon as we wake up in the morning, oh Lord, we know you're there. Can I just suggest this, that if tomorrow morning when you wake up and you break this spirit of duvet that we mentioned last week, and Graham liked it, he's been texting me about it all week, hallelujah. I think he's been under the covers doing it, I have no idea. But whatever, I'm trusting that he's up, I don't know, is that, just imagine this for a moment, that you wake up tomorrow morning and Jesus is sitting on your bed. You know, it's not just Winnie the Pooh, it's not Paddington Bear, it's not, you know, whatever you've got on your bed, but Jesus is sitting on your bed. What are you going to do? What are you laughing at? It's not that. What are you going to do? I would suggest that you're going to sit up, right, take a bit of attention, and you're probably going to phone a friend. It's like, guess what? Jesus is sitting on my bed. Come round and check it out. You're only laughing because you know that you would. Maybe you would say, this is amazing. Jesus is sitting on my bed. I'm going to phone a friend, but also I'm going to phone the local radio and say, come and check this out. Jesus is sitting on my bed. Hallelujah. And maybe when you're doing that and you phoned your friend and you phoned, you know, what is it? What's the local thing? Radio. Heart radio. Is you phone heart radio, then you phone up, you know, look south. It's like, you know, what's the lady's name? Newsreader for the south. I'm looking at my wife because she knows everything. She can't see me. Her glasses aren't on. Hello. Like, what's her name? The local lady. Oh, right, okay. Just make up a name. Mary. You find out Mary. I'll just make up a name. Then the TV cameras come and it's like, Jesus is sitting on my bed. How many of you would do that? How many of you got a Bible by your bed? It's the same thing. I believe God wants to impress himself upon you and me so much that where you've got the Bible, Jesus is sitting on your bed. Thanks, Graham. You're me, mate. Is that when you're up, you just know Jesus wants to say something, show something, and do something today. Jesus is sitting on your bed. Because can I just suggest that God wants us, it's time to know God like that. And as we go through some of the journeys and some of the stories of real people, like the guys that came forward, again, we don't want to big up the Bible school because the Bible school is the Bible school, but just a sense of the God came into the room and God said, I've come to give stuff away. I've come to take away those years of weaknesses in your legs because it's not right. I've come to take away those years of that skin condition because it's not my best for you. it's time for me to come and sort out these digestive things, because that's not how I've made you, and that's not how I want you to live. And suddenly, in a moment of time, the bigness of God came into the smallness of man and changed the man, or the woman. And it's a woman, she's... And can I just suggest that this morning God wants to do exactly the same? As we were encouraged, they're no different than we are. So last week and this week, the kind of the thought behind the message is it's time for you and I to move from the general, God can bless me, to God is going to bless me like this. It's that God is awesome, but God wants to do something awesome in me. It's that God is a healer, but he wants to heal me. God is a provider, but he wants to provide for me. God is a restorer, but he wants to restore for me. I believe this is where God is bringing us to, is God's initiative. It's not our idea, it's God's idea. How many of you know that's the best idea? We have all kinds of ideas. And our ideas change from time to climate to whether Trump's in or Barack's out. It doesn't matter. Our ideas change according to the world changing, but God's ideas about you never change. There's nothing that surprises God. There's nothing that catches him out. There's nothing that disappoints him, because he knows everything. God is a know-all. And in that, he knows you, and in that, he wants you to know him back. So God knows what he's doing. It's true. So we're going to have a look through Matthew 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Josh's fingers are going to be on fire in the next few minutes. Hallelujah. It was your fingers that God healed, wasn't it? It will be. And in Matthew 9, if you've taken any time there, just in verse 2, it's time for those that have had a paralyzed life to be free and healed. Where there's just been restriction, limit, lack of movement, just a sense of I can't do anything. It's time that Jesus came to set you free today. Paralysis doesn't exist in God's best. He's not interested in whatever made us in that condition. His interest is, I'm going to set you free. Verse 18. It's time for you, time for me, those of us that feel as if our life is under a death sentence. Every morning it's getting harder. Every day it's just getting more difficult. Every week I'm just struggle. It's Jesus said, I've come to deal with death and exchange it for life instead. And in this moment of time, death was exchanged for life. And I believe it's time today for many of us, maybe it's you, is that God wants to set you free from the sense of my life has just been sucked out of me. It feels like there's nothing I can do. It just feels like my body's getting tighter and tighter. My head's getting more and more. It feels like a death sentence. It's time for you to be free today, my friends. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 22. It's time for those of you, like this lady with long-term sicknesses, today is your day of freedom and deliverance. It's today. Should we reach out as we've been reaching out this week, praying in the mornings, praying for friends and workplaces and marketplaces, praying for men. We've been reaching out, but guess what? God's been reaching out back. And he's saying it's time. Today's your day. Today is the day of the power of God. In verse 27 to 32, come on, Josh, you're doing great. It's time for people that have got disabling sicknesses. I can't see, I can't hear, I can't speak. Now, God wants to set you free. He wants you to be able to hear him. He wants you to be able to communicate about him. He wants you to be able to see him in a new way. Today's the day for you. If that's you, today's your day. Okay, I'll move on. Can you hear me? It's your day. Going on into Matthew 10, verse 6 and 7. It's time for you and I to move into a new level of expression of God's presence. God is always saying, come. Even when we're saying, no way, Jose. Jesus is always saying, come aside. Come to me. Come and spend. Jesus is saying that to some people this morning. Whatever the busyness or whatever the measure of our life looks like, Jesus in the midst of it is saying, come. Come to me. Verse 12, just the next verse, I believe for all of us, because we all live in some kind of house, is that God wants to release a whole new level of peace and well-being amongst our homes. It's time. It's time. Jesus already sent us out. That's why we're here. We didn't just turn up because we stayed from last Sunday, I hope. But we're here. But part of the reason for being here is to bring more of God's presence into each other's lives. And we're going to look at how we do that even more over the next 2 weeks. But what Jesus shows us here is it's time. Come into the house, leave greetings, leave my presence, leave a blessing there. I think it's time for us to do that. I have no idea what your home life looks like, what your family look like. I have no idea. It may on the face of it look like it's turmoil. It might look as if it's World War III. It might look as if it's whatever. All I know is, blessed are the peacemakers. There's something that God wants to quicken us in today that makes you somebody that can help an exchange take place. Where there was war, you win the peace for God. Relational breakthroughs. It's time. Just turn to the person next to you and say, this is good. If it isn't, don't have to say it, but I'm checking that every mouth is moving. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 11. Josh, you're doing great. You're almost halfway. Keep going, man. Verse 28. I believe it's time for yokes and burdens to be lifted. The things that just weigh us down, they're a pain in the neck. Can I put it that way? And don't say people, all right? Don't just look at me. Hallelujah. But things that just distract us, they stop us in our neck area. See, the head is brilliant. The head is God in the Bible, but the neck gives it a bit of movement and direction. How many of you have had a stiff neck before? Yeah, you kind of walk around like that, right? Like crash dummies. But part of what Jesus did is he takes the yokes, the worries, the anxieties, the burdens which we carry that he wants. Because if we don't, we end up as a stiff-necked person, and God doesn't want us to be a stiff-necked person. He wants the flexibility. Oh, that hurt. He wants the flexibility. He wants the flexibility. So it's time to trust Jesus today. I'm going to give you this worry. I'm going to give you this anxiety. I'm going to give you this challenge in my head. Guess what? He'll take it. He won't say, oh, let me think about it. He already has thought about it. He said, yeah, it's time. It's time. Verse 29 of Matthew 11, it's time to learn something fresh about Jesus. Learn from me. However long you've been a Christian, however well you consider that you know Jesus or not, today's time to know him better than you've ever done before. There's more ahead than there is behind us. Jesus says, come on. I love Matthew 12. I was just going to preach on this for a whole message, and maybe one Sunday, if it's right, I will. Matthew 12, verse 13, is where your life looks as if it's shriveled. There's been a bit of lack of blood flowing through it, a bit too much pressure in one area of life. Maybe you've just felt a little bit restriction around something. Is Jesus says, stretch out your arm because I'm going to heal it. It's time to see those things that were shriveled restored. Maybe within your finances, it looks as if it's going the wrong way. God said he'd bless you, but it looks as if you're living under a curse. The curse was a shrivel, but as it's been put out, Jesus has touched it with blessing and changed it. Maybe it's in terms of job, prospects, ambition, goals, passions. It's like, oh, well, I had all these hopes, but they've just shriveled up. Jesus says, no, bring the shriveled up, stretch out with the shriveled, because I'm going to restore life to it. Because even the shriveled has movement. It may not look what you want it to look like. It may not feel like you want it to look like. But you've got the potential to see something great and glorious come out of it. Hallelujah. This is all in your Bible. It must be in yours, Isabel, because you've got a huge Bible. That's massive. In verse 40, this is a bit like Jonah. is I just felt in my heart is time for you and me, time for people that we're praying for, loving, to come out of obscurity back into the light of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I mean, Jonah had 3 days within a fish, all right? And then when he came out, he smelt like fish sick. Come on, just read the Bible. It says he vomited. It's like, great. Here he is, this man of God who runs the wrong way, runs into a fish as big as Jaws 5, and comes out smelling like fish sick. You know, he wasn't your TV preacher person. Well, maybe he was. He was in a studio all on his own, okay? He was just locked in a cupboard. Don't smell it. But what I just felt in my heart, Jesus is saying to you and to me, is it's time for you to come and shine. It's your time to be the light that God has said you are. It's your time. And actually, you don't do anything different than you were doing yesterday. It's just that you know it's different. The Bible says that you are the light of the world. You carry the hope. It may feel as if you need the hope, but actually God has put hope in you because he's put himself in you. And I just felt in my heart as I was preparing for this on Thursday, Friday, it's like God wants some of you just to come out into the open. Find some air around you. Find some space again. The Bible says that I will bring you into a spacious place. Is it that some of us, sometimes God hides us because he wants to work in our lives. That's great. Sometimes we're hidden because we make wrong choices. Sometimes we just hide because we don't like the consequences. All I'm saying is, however you're in there, God wants to bring you out. He's not going to judge us on how we ended up in the fish. He might hold his nose when he says, come out. Okay, I don't know. All he's saying is, come on, just be obedient. Just do the last thing I've said. Matthew 13. I've no idea what's going up behind me. What is it? Is it? Josh, you doing all right, mate? Okay. My wife's clapping, so I'm joining my wife. Hallelujah. It's not the Quran going up there, is it? No, that's all right. Or the Beano. Matthew 13, verse 1. And this one, as a leadership team, we've been praying for this for many months, many years, is that we believe it's time to gather a crowd who are hungry and sow into their lives. We believe it's time. It's your time. It's my time. It's our time. And interestingly, in the prayer meeting, I think it came out of Isaiah or somewhere, it says that the least of you will be like 1,000 and the smallest like an island. That was you, wasn't it? Right? Awesome. Because I think it's time. It's time for us to really step up a gear and begin to pray specifically. Who am I going to bring next week? Not because we want to fill this building, because we're going to move to a bigger one. Well, hallelujah, because this place is getting too small for us, saith the Lord. But who is it? Who is the name that I'm going to be putting on here and I'm going to put it on my fridge magnet? I'm not going to pray for the fridge. But I'm going to pray for the person. Come on, this person's coming. This person's coming. This person's coming. And then I'm going to bring them. Because it's time to gather a crowd and feed them. I'm not interested in gathering a crowd. I'm interested in developing a crowd. Growing people within the crowd so that they all become feeders of crowds. Hallelujah. But Matthew 13:1 encourages me. The second thing in verse 55, you're going to have to take this as I'm saying it, because it's time for just the carpenters to do the works of God. Very good. I saw that one coming. It's time for people who may look ordinary, they may be familiar within family, within workplace. It's time for the people who have just said, well, it's only Sue. It's only Anne. It's only Graham. It was only a carpenter, but he healed every disease. It's going to mess with people's minds. It's going to mess with their expectations of who God is and what he can do, because they'll come up to you and say, why aren't you so miserable? Well, because I got Jesus. Well, pray for me. And you pray for them, and suddenly the power of God. It's time for the, in quotes, carpenters to begin to build something significant for God. It's time. It's your time. It's my time. Now, well, I've only got this job. If you got Jesus, it's never, it's only. Because the people said, aren't you just a carpenter's son? And they received from only the carpenter's son. They probably had the best furniture in Nazareth. But those who refused to allow their familiarity to be their perception, they got healed of every disease. And I think it's time for you and for me to realize I'm not just a number. I'm not just a bottom on a seat. I'm not just a name on a check that I give in every Sunday. I'm not just part of the tea and coffee team, and we need more people. Everybody in here is on the tea and coffee team. It's just we don't always turn up. I'll pause for a thing. We're all in the worship team, but we don't all stand at the front. Is that very good? We're all in the prayer team, but we don't always turn up. Come on. Don't make excuses or reasons for disqualifying yourself. When Jesus has said, when you know me, I qualify you. For what? For anything. Which is why, was it you that said, why not? Yeah. Anybody who thinks there's somebody invisible organising his service this morning, it's amazing. God has been talking, we've been praying, God's been saying we're going to do this, and then suddenly we're in the room. So guess what? I think pretty much what God is saying is for somebody, is for you. Some of what God seems to be saying certainly is for me. Matthew 14, Josh, we're almost there. We're on the home stretch, mate. Keep breathing. Hallelujah. Matthew 14, verse 16 says this, and I've spoken on this before. Whatever you think you've got or not got, put it back into the hands of Jesus and he will multiply it for you. It's time to upscale our resources. Well, I can't do very much. Great. Put you into God's hands and see what he'll do. Well, I don't have very much. Great. Put it into God's hands and see him multiply it. Because he will, because it's time. See, I don't think Jesus did the miracle. I think the disciples did, and they were amazed. Every time they pulled their hand out, another box of fish and chips came out. What? There are 5,000 people. Another one came out. Another one came out. I think in my heart, when we start hearing these orange cards, we can either say, oh, that was good. Or we can think, that was good. Maybe God could do it with me. Or that was good. Maybe God can do it with me and he's going to do it with me tomorrow. Or we can think, I want some of that. Can I just suggest it's time to say, I want some of that. Because we are orange cards. We are protons. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know whether you're networking over there, Bruce, or making notes. I have no idea. Ordering a pizza, maybe. Pepperoni, chorizo. Then in verse 27 and 28, it's time for some of us to look at the waves of our life and decide to walk over them. Jesus puts it this way, take courage. What I love about that is I don't have to source courage, I can take courage. I don't have to feel like Superman and wear my pants outside my trousers to prove it. And Norton's really pleased that I don't have to. Hallelujah. We were in the same men's group for a while. Hallelujah. Not just a brief time. Sorry. I'm not that sorry, but so. Jesus wants you and I to look through him at the waves and say, I'm having you. Yes. You may get bigger. You may get more noisy. You may get more intense. But Jesus is there. The danger with storms is that we tell God about the size of the storm and we don't tell the storm about the size of God. Because quite often when stuff happens, it's noisy. It's distractional. It takes our time, our focus. And it shouldn't. Jesus has to remain in focus. But it's time to refocus. through the word, through prayer, through praying in small groups. And we're going to be talking loads about small groups the next couple of weeks. Why? Because that's how we work a lot of this out. Right? But I believe it's time, and we find this in Matthew, it's time to see Jesus in a fresh way and take courage. Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9. It's time to do a little bit of a health check, that my heart and my lips are saying the same thing. Let me put it this way, without offending anybody too much. Actions will always speak louder than words. Jesus didn't tell anybody he loved them, but everybody knew he did. Nobody. Not one time did Jesus say, I love you, but everybody knew, because his actions speak louder than his words. I believe God is saying, it's time, come on. You want to see this town and this area change, then be the change. If you want to see me move within people's lives, then begin to move with me differently. If you want to have a great time on a Sunday, be part of making it great on a Sunday. Do you understand that? Because our words speak eternal things that sometimes our words are forgotten. So it's time. And in verse 26 and 28, and again, there's a slight left curve thought on this one, but if you read the story about the lady from Samaria, she should have no voice. She should have no demands of Jesus. She shouldn't have even had time with him. But Jesus said it was time for the voiceless to be heard. And I'm totally convinced that there are people that you know, people that I know, people that we know, they're just longing for God. They just don't know who to talk to. There's something locked within their own heart. In the early hours, in the late hours, they're just dealing with stuff without God. And inside somewhere, it's like, God, if there is a God, I want to know you. I think it's time for you and me to be the ear that hears the voice and responds with the presence of Jesus. I believe as church, we are committed as Kingdom Faith, and you'll hear a bit more about this next Wednesday, is that we are here. Part of why we are here is to be the voice for the voiceless. I was chatting with someone on Friday. This is exciting. Well, I can't tell you too much because it's kind of thinking and praying about it. But as an organization, we've been offered about 1,500 square meters of coffee area to use for the homeless, for the hard up, for the destitute. It's got showers with it, changing rooms with it. So that got some of your attention. It's time. Let me tell you, it's just a building. It's the people that make the change. It's just a building. You could rent a building like that, but these guys have just given it to us. But it's an empty building without people carrying presence in it. So me and Emma have been having a chat. She's going off to pray about it. She's very excited, as you would expect. Emma's our small group leader, looks after the homeless. It's like, woo, woo. But it's time. It's time for our actions to speak louder than our words. Let's all stand up, shall we? I've written another declaration. I don't know, some of you weren't here last week, some of you were. But certainly next week, we're going to be doing another declaration. But this one I've written to help us think through what God seems to be saying at this time. But also it gives us an easy way to respond, because we can all respond at the same time. All right? Several people came up and said, oh, where did you get that declaration from last week? Can I get it? I said, yeah, it's in the Bible. Just do your own. That's where it came from. It's nothing magical. It's just as I kind of been praying, considering what God is saying, I've just written down what I'm saying as a response to what I'm hearing. Is that okay? So I'm just going to read this out. If you want to, you can respond, but we're going to respond all at the same time. Is that all right? I am blessed because God has blessed me. I have what the Bible says I have. I can do what the Bible says I can do. And I am who the Bible says I am. Sickness does not own me. And I do not own it. Jesus, I thank you. You took my sickness. And you took my infirmity. And you have judged them. And right now I speak to myself. Dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. I will live and not die. And I will declare his mighty works. God is my refuge. He is my deliverer. His mercy is on you every day. His joy is my strength. His wings are my shelter. He heals my broken heart. He restores my soul. I speak to sickness, to pain, to aches and issues with my body. And I say to you, Jesus has carried you away from me. And I am not subject to you any longer. Where I have sown in tears, I will reap with joy. I have the mind of Christ. I am complete and I lack nothing. I am rooted and established in God's great love. I wear a crown of beauty instead of ashes. The oil of gladness instead of mourning. And the garment of praise instead of despair. I am alive today. So I take off the grave clothes. And I will live for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, I want to thank you right now that you take every sickness. You have taken every disease. You have taken every infirmity. And we declare a breakthrough over bodies today. Right now, I speak to everybody and say, peace to you. Sickness, you don't own anybody in this room. Where there's despair, I thank you for a garment of praise. We speak to every ache, pain, disease, discomfort. And we say, you're not having us anymore. It's time to be free. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise and give him some thanks.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.